Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything been going?
Well, trying to get the lungs to recover out of the latest haze workout we've had.
Well, it was crazy. Ooh. Yeah, a few nights ago, I did, by the way, I did the trail on Candy Mountain. And man, they've done a bunch of improvements back there. New parking lot, and they've upgraded the trail. But you're right. The one thing I could say about it is there was a few smoky evenings last night when I was out there.
Wear one of those athletic masks that people wear, you know, filter out all the smoke.
It was definitely been in the air for sure. We always like to have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow from Home Street. Mike, how are you doing?
Doing good. Now all these kids are back in school and people are back from all these summer vacations and everything. We've already seen applications picking up this week.
Yeah, you know, we talk to our sellers and people about the market, and we always kind of see fair week and back to school a little slowdown sometimes there as people kind of get refocused and get back in the swing of things. But you're exactly right. Now that people are back in a routine and back looking, we had a big uptick in contracts that went in pending. And so on the same end, as we're putting more of those houses pending, you're obviously seeing the applications on your end.
Exactly.
Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And for all of you Game of Thrones fans out there, Queen Lena Headey is put her L.A. home on the market. So it'll be interesting to see as that season wrapped up if maybe she's going to be working on a new project. A lot of times we see the real estate go on the market and then a new project coming up.
No, she's looking to buy a castle.
Well, this isn't exactly a castle, but if she is, she's going to have some coins. So she put on her 2,900 square feet LA home on the market for $1.9 million. Hmm. Now, sometimes I say those numbers on the air, but it doesn't quite always equate to a Tri-Cities number. So I thought a lot of people in Tri-Cities will break down, what's the price per square foot that that house is going for? And in the Tri-Cities, we always see usually a range from $100 a square to $200 in that general range. If it's anywhere outside of that, there's some kind of anomaly going on. And quick math for you, that equates to a bargain price of $655 a square foot.
Wow.
So I'm sure that's a number they're used to in LA, but I can honestly say I've never seen that number in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, that's three plus times our top end.
our top end. So kind of fun to look at the pictures, though. You know, that is an older, they, you know, call it a mid-century modern, which kind of has had a big resurgence lately in the architecture and home selling world. So still gorgeous home at that price point. Well, one of the things that we always like to do is Mike and I, before we do the shows, we talk about what's going on in the market, what are we seeing in the market, what's happened recently, and then how does that equate to what's going on in real estate. So one of the things we were talking about and one of the trends that Mike and I were seeing that we thought was funny is we looked back over the last couple months and, gosh, I've just had three or four different deals over the last couple months where folks were selling a home. They were empty nesters or maybe they had three kids and they're down to just one kid. And so they're about to be empty nesters and the home they're selling versus the home they're buying is what I noticed is they're upsizing. And so a lot of times I'm like, what is going on here? So they're selling maybe, for instance, I'll just give one off the top of my head. They're selling a quarter acre, West Richland, you know, 2,300 square feet home. And they're moving to their retirement home, which is maybe up near, say, Summit View. And so they're going to a half-acre, 3,000-square-foot home. And you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're going backwards here.
Well, we have some friends that they have a couple of boys, and they're one of them's graduated, another one's a senior. But they've always wanted this dream house on some acreage out off Badger. So maybe that's the idea.
McKay, you're spot on. I tell you what, the more years we do this real estate show together, the better off you are. So
I are a genius.
I did a little bit of research on here, and I came across a couple different articles. Zillow had done a lot of research on that. Today Show had written an article on it. But McKay, you hit reason number three that is on that list, and basically it's what happens, and it's called lifestyle perks. So when you go to retire, a lot of people, like you said, have saved up their entire life, and now they want that dream house that you said, acreage out in Badger Canyon. And one of the things that happens is when people look at retiring and look at the lifestyle, location is really everything. I mean, it becomes a big deal. And that part of real estate has just not changed. People that are still active, if they're younger retirees, maybe they want that acreage to entertain more or spend more time outside. Or
maybe for years they live next to an annoying neighbor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And trust me, I've sold a lot of houses for that reason. But that's one of the things on the list is a big one, is lifestyle perks are really worth moving up for. And so you'll see people put a little space between themselves and the neighbors, maybe get a little extra land where they can have a shop or they can have a pool to relax in. So that's one of the reasons that we see for retirees upsizing instead of downsizing. The number one reason that we see on that list is really comes down to family. A lot of family dynamics have changed over the last 20, 30 years, to the point where some of the statistics I don't even believe, but some of the stats that are on there is that adult children under the age of 30, it's like 34% of them are still living at home. So, I mean, it's like a mind-blowing statistic. So what happens is generally when a retiree might have been downsizing, they're actually looking for a reconfiguration of that space to, instead of having a mother-in-law suite, you've got the adult children suite. And it's crazy to think about, but it's become very, very popular. So what you have is you have people selling the house that they grew up in and then buying a house that actually is more square footage with a little bit bigger layout. So it's just one of those things that it doesn't seem to make sense at first. You've always been told downsize, 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 but a lot of retirees right now are looking at upsizing. The other point that was in here on the study, and that is the thing about preparing for the future. So a lot of times people are looking at that and they're saying, gosh, you know what? I might not need more space, but I might need a house that has 3 or 4 foot walkways and hallways. And I might need everything on one level. And I might need more garage space because now I have that classic car that I've always wanted. So kind of an extension of that is just preparing for the future, to where when you start to expand house plans, maybe it worked out great to be in a 1,700 square foot mid-entry. But when you look at those next steps of, you know, now you have a 4 foot hallway and you expand that footprint of the house and you want it all on one level, it's really easy to go from a 1,700 square foot split where things were kind of crammed in there. The house I just described, when you put it down on paper, a lot of times becomes a 2,100 square foot Rambler with an extra deep third bay garage. You're totally upsizing. And so as we start to see this as kind of an emerging trend, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, what are you looking at for your mortgage? Have you retired now? And that's really the point where I'm going to say, you probably, if you're looking at doing this, and I think we've talked about this or at least mentioned it on the show, Mike, I think a big thing you're coming into is, does someone want to do this upsize prior to retiring? Because it might be easier on the lending side to make that happen.
Absolutely. The fixed income changes the dynamic. I mean, some people make enough and they're taking enough money out. Depends on when you retire. I mean, if let's say you retire at 60, you know, before Social Security age, before IRAs, before annuities, all these different things, and you're just living off cash for a few years, well, then, yeah, you're going to have a problem there getting pre-approved for a home. So, yeah, you would want to do it before you retire while you're still getting that full paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen a lot of people do some really good planning. And I know we've shared clients that have done that before where they've said, gosh, I am looking at going to that retirement home. Here is my kind of needs analysis. Here's what I want. Here's the square footage I want. And if that's an upsize situation, they've come to us and said, what do I need to do? And I've sent them over to Mike and they've said, okay, you're both still working. You've got great income. You might not want to touch any of your 401k. Here's what we need to do to make this happen. And a lot of times it does make sense to make that move and that next purchase prior to the retirement, because it could be way harder afterwards.
Absolutely.
Folks, we've been talking about a different trend that's emerging in housing, and that is, we've been hearing for years, and it's been on HGTV, the tiny house movement, the McMansions from, I'll just say heck because we're on radio, but there are web pages devoted to getting out of the McMansion era. And so we spent the last 5 or 6 years in this trend of going down. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what a on-fire economy and a better economy has done to reverse the housing trend and look at upsizing again as an option.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been taking a look at a couple different topics this week. One of those being an uptick in the trend of upsizing, whether that be millennials starting to look at a little bit larger homes, or even, as much as it doesn't make sense, the data is suggesting that a lot of retirees are actually upsizing when they make that move to their retirement home. So we're going to look at a few more examples of that. Before we get to that, though, two things. I want to get some property out there and then talk to Mike at Home Street. But there is a pick three, and we've got some great new inventory. We're still floating right around that 700 home mark. So inventory is still tight out there. But there's some great new property now that Mike said before the break. We're through that back to school week and people are settling into a routine, and people that were selling are going to make a move by the end of the year. We're starting to see that inventory hit the market. So pick number one, 258 Scholar Court in Kennewick. This is a 3-bed, 3-bath stucco rambler in great cul-de-sac location, 2458 square feet. Absolutely fantastic, energy efficient home. It's got a solar panel supply, which gives you roughly a 40% lower utility bill plus rebate earnings. Split bedroom design, laminate wood floors, half bath, office, formal dining, and living rooms. Kitchen has granite counters, stainless steel appliances. Totally updated, and what you've got is you've got a slider to the patio and a fully fenced backyard, really close to the golf course and all the amenities that are offered there, and that's priced at $385,000. So very, very nice rambler in a great central location. Pick number two, 8217 Sunset Lane in Pasco. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home on a large lot, very close to the river in Pasco, right next to the walking and nature trails, almost 3,000 square feet. You've got a full-length covered front porch, double-door entry, really nicely updated home, big living room, and absolutely you get that peekaboo view of the river. So very, very nice location. Some of the updates include laminate wood floors, quartz counters, stainless steel appliances. You've got a slider off the dining area, and you've also got an upper level deck overlooking the huge backyard with mature trees. Really, really nicely done property. You're getting all of this and RV parking very close to Chiawana Park, and that's coming in at $299.9. So really cool property for that price point. And then pick number three, this is 6919 Franklin in Pasco. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath Rambler. It's on 1 acre, and it has it all. 2,500 square feet, two master suites, in-ground swimming pool, two-bay shop, fully fenced, quiet cul-de-sac location. Really, really nice property. And that's there priced at $350,000. So some really good inventory with some of those spacious areas like we were talking about before the break. Well, we always like to check in and get a lending update. Mike, what's going on with Home Street and what are you seeing in the market right now?
Well, I see people basically getting pre-approved. A lot of them are doing it at the right time, which is early. You know, having the conversations with us, talking it through, finding out how much cash, finding out about their credit, finding out the payment, and letting all of those things sink in, asking all the questions, doing it over time, and so they're ready to go when all of this information is settled. Then the opposite side happens, which I know you see as well. Hey, we looked at a house over the weekend and we tried to throw in an offer and the agent said we had to get pre-approved, but we love it and we've been sitting on the fence. And then we pull credit and they think they had 700 plus credit and they don't. And then there was something on there that they co-signed for that they forgot about. And then there's complications. And if we would have pulled their credit a month or two before, then, hey, we could have dealt with those things. We could have handled that. We could have repaired the credit. We could have done this. And we keep seeing that just, hey, let's talk about the plans. I have plenty of people that come in and sit down. I don't pull their credit. You know, I've got a couple that just moved here, and they're talking about buying in December or January. I'm like, well, let's talk about it. Do you know what your credit scores are? Yeah, we looked, and they're this. Okay. Well, what do we need to focus on? We need to pay down some debt. We need to do this. We need to, you know, set some money aside. This is how much money you're going to, want to set aside. Oh, well, what about a co-signer? Oh, well, let's talk to mom. Well, mom's coming to town next week. Oh, well, let's get mom in. Let's talk to her. And just let's figure all this stuff out as far in advance. There's just no harm in asking these questions early, getting it all out there, and having a plan. And even if you're going to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 months before you buy, at least you have the plan. You can go to bed at night saying, I got a plan, rather than, well, I hope my credit's good.
Well, and it makes perfect sense because it takes a little while to get to that point and to get everything ready. And I mean, you and I had one just last weekend. It was Saturday, and I was like, hey, Mike, we weren't sure. You know, we had been waiting for another house to sell, and it got sold and wrapped up on Thursday. And, you know, normally we wouldn't think it would happen that quick, but client just had found a house that was literally going on the market the next day. We know how competitive our market is here. And I dial up Mike on Saturday morning and I'm like, hey, XYZ client, we're writing an offer this afternoon. We'd like to wrap it up Monday before everybody sees this house. And you were able to say, yeah, I met with that client 4 weeks ago. Pre-approval's in my file. I'll shoot it right over to you. Mm-hmm. And we might not have gotten that house under contract if we hadn't had that appointment.
Yeah, if I hadn't had the conversation,
yep.
Well, then you can't spit out a pre-approval letter just off somebody's word.
Absolutely. And
oh,
so
I have good credit. Trust me. I've got the money in the bank.
And so we see that all the time. And that was a huge difference to that client getting that house. So, no, you bring up some really good points there, and we're always pushing for that to happen. Even when people call our office and they're, you know, want to go see a home, you know, we're asking that question, which lender are you working with before you start to see homes? And maybe we can save you a whole lot of disappointment or problems. Who have you been talking to? Because a lot of times you don't know until you get into that process. And the worst thing we can do from our perspective is kill somebody's dream. You know, they see the house they love. They get all excited about it, and having not gone through that, it goes into multiple offers that night, and they don't even have a chance.
Well, which is even worse than that is you get pre-approved from, I say, I've got quotes in the air that the listeners can't see, but pre-approved, then you go down the process, and you put in earnest money, and you're all the way down the line, and then you weren't pre-approved, and people always ask, how did that happen with that other lender? They said, you know, that we were and we weren't, and it's only as good as the person taking the information and asking the right questions and entering in the right information to get you run through. If they don't get through everything and they don't consider everything, well, then they said you were when you weren't.
Yeah, no, it creates a lot of problems. Well, I appreciate all the work your office is doing to make sure people are dialed in. And that way, when they get in our car and go look at houses with us and they're looking on our websites, we know we're ready to purchase.
Yeah, and I want them educated. I want them, like I said, to have everything sink in, because the worst thing is you run somebody through really fast because they want to put it in an offer and they don't, it hasn't sunk in. And then you get the buyer's remorse, right? And that's never good either. So get in early, find out what you think you want to buy, find out what you can buy, and answer, you know, I'll answer a lot of questions and basically educate so that they're comfortable.
Good information, Mike. Well, before the break, we were talking a little bit about an uptick in upsizing. And at first, the first couple times this happened in the last couple months, I just assumed it's because I'm getting old. So, okay, because here's what would happen. I would walk into the office. I would see, I'll call him a kid. I would see somebody that was 23 or 24 years old working with one of our agents. And I'd look at the deal and just look over things. And I would look at what they were buying. And I'm like, holy Hannah, this, you know, 24-year-old or 25-year-old, they're buying 2,500, 2,600 square foot home at a price point I would not expect for first-time homebuyers. So this started happening a couple times. Then we had some retirees upsizing. I said, okay, we got to dig into this research. We got to do a show on this. What's going on? So when I really looked at the numbers and the census data, in home size is up about 20% since the year 2000. So in 2000, when I got into the business there, we're looking at average home square footage right at about 2,000 square feet. And now, according to census data, that's running about 2,500 square feet. So, and then especially in the last year or two, as the economy has started to fire and people can afford a little bit more expensive home, we're starting to see some of that square footage creep up again based upon these national trends. And a lot of times there's a couple elements beside that. And I kind of wanted to point this out before we, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have Parade of Homes coming up, and we're going to be talking more about a Parade of Homes. But as you're out looking at these homes, one of the things that you'll see happen is you see that open floor concept over the course of the last 10 years has really become popular, where you have less of the formal living room and the formal dining, but you have a big open concept area. Well, as that open concept has grown, it hasn't just been a matter of knocking out walls. We've actually seen the footprint of the house to fit these larger kitchens and these larger areas. We've seen the footprint of that house start to grow a little bit. And so what you're really seeing is you're seeing people look for those amenities. And especially we talked a couple months ago about millennials really driving that housing market. And it's interesting. They Zillow did a survey. And when they look at that survey, the results were a little bit surprising, because 56% of millennials reported having a large home as being important to them. And now that we're looking at who's driving, and we did a whole show on this, who's driving that housing market, with them being the largest segment of that, only 42% of Gen Xers said a larger home was important, and only 35% of baby boomers. So, you know, the largest group driving that purchasing power is now looking at a larger home as being important in their segment of buying. So I think you're going to see this trend increase the next couple of years as the economy fires away there.
Now that I'm thinking about it as well, I see the millennials going to college and then coming back and living with their parents for a little while. They've got a good job. They can save the money by staying with the parents and then put the money down.
Yeah, and so it's twofold problem, just like we talked about. Retirees upsizing to make room for those kids, then the kids saving more money and kind of skipping that starter home segment of the market. So, topic that was, until I really dug in and did the research, you know, it's these things evolve, and as we start to see clients making these purchases, it's fun to go back, dig into that research, and see why that's happening. Mike, I want to thank you again for all of the great work you're doing with our clients and taking care of our closings. And man, your office at Home Street, you guys have really been closing on time and just doing a fantastic job for our clients. How can people get a hold of you guys if they're shopping for a mortgage or getting ready to get pre-approved?
My direct line at work is 572-3651.
If you missed that at all, you can always go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we will get you in contact with the experts over there at Home Street. And of course, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.